of good acting, good story, and writing. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm giving Mount Pleasant, I'm giving it a 7. That's our show for today. Rob Waldman for CITR FM 101.9, Reel to Reel at the Movies. I hope you like it. Hope you stick around to hear my good friend Daryl Wiener's barbecue. And we'll be talking to you soon. Have fun at the movies. Rob Waldman, CITR FM 101.9, Reel to Reel at the Movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Fun!
While
Fun
cloaks itself in a plethora of disguises, its favorite mantle still remains
Fun. Fun
devours all it touches, its voracious appetite rarely fulfilled. Yet
Fun
doesn't only destroy, it creates and molds as well. Let's examine closely then this dangerously evil creation, this new breed. But a word of caution, handle it with care and don't drop your guard. This rapacious new breed prowls both alone and in packs, operating at any level, any time, anywhere, and with anybody. Who are they?
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You are proudly listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your dynamic and fascinating host, Philip Rocher. You are now listening to Career Fast Track, a show specifically designed to educate and inspire you to land your dream job.
One of the things we say most often in this show is we often talk about what's really exciting. And what you've noticed over throughout the shows is one of the things we talk mostly about is if you love doing something so much, you must only earn a living doing it. You know, what's really interesting is often I hear people say, well, if I love doing something so much, I can't possibly earn a living doing it. Well, on this show, we only talk about doing what you love. And so you have a pretty simple choice in life. You can either have a hobby you love and be poor, or have a hobby you like a little less and be rich. So, you know, that's a little dramatic. But what I've noticed in general is if you transfer a hobby to what you love, you make some wonderful money and you can have a lot of fun. Now, you are in for a real treat today. Now, before I move into today's show, I want to just briefly recap last week's show because we had an incredible guest. She came to the show out of her own free will, and her name was Liz Grant. She's actually a VP for a career management company in local Vancouver, British Columbia. Now, the reason I wanted to share that with you is because she's considered one of the experts. She works for a company that's been around for many, many years called Right Management. And why I wanted to mention that was because we on this show, we're always committed to giving you the best and most recent and hottest information available to you. So she was here. Continue to listen to this show. You've always been, your expectations, I'm sure, have always been met, and they will continue to be met. And today's show is no exception. Let's get started. Now, as usual, every show, what I do is I always want to answer two questions that I receive. Now, I usually receive a myriad of questions from people in my life in terms of careers. And so what I try to do is summarize or identify the two main questions that I feel need to be answered on the air so that your major concerns are addressed. And this is the first question. And let me tell you, it's a doozy. The question is this. I've never in my life had so many people ask me how to find work outside of North America. Now, by definition and by default, this show concepts are based on North American principles. So they work, they've been tested and proven in North America. So the question is, does and do the theories we're sharing with you here today and every single week apply to finding work elsewhere in the world? Asia, Europe, okay? China, everywhere else. Where and when can you find this work? Well, completely unexpectedly. I never in a million years ever expected this to happen. But in working with individuals, I've discovered that the principles that work for North America apply to the following countries. The following countries and areas are places in which people have found work using North American standards. It just literally rocks my world. Check this out. The UK, Dubai, South America, Kazakhstan, China, the Philippines, Japan, Korea, and more. And so what I've discovered is that the world is becoming, everyone talks about this, right? The world becoming global. But what does that have to do with you? What does that have to do with your life? It has everything to do with the fact that standards are getting, standards are being spread around the world where everything is being equal. And so that is why I can have an individual yesterday tell me, Philip, I use my resume and cover letter that you helped me with in Kazakhstan, and I got an interview. The reason why it works is because standards around the world are getting uniform, and that's great news for you. So if you're thinking of finding work outside of North America, folks, listen up. For the very first time, I'm making a declaration. The principles have been working for others, and I'm confident they can work for you. Good. First question. Now, next question. It was a very good one. It actually caught me off guard when it was asked of me, and it was a wonderful opportunity for me to identify and answer the question accurately. So here it is. It's in salary negotiations, and this is a sensitive subject, but the question was, what do I say when the employer asks me what I made in my last job? So again, what do I say to the employer when they ask me what did I make in my last job? A very sensitive question. And you must answer it sensitively. And if you answer it correctly, then you are making a powerful step. Now, the information I'm going to transmit to you right now is so amazing that when I read it, it came out of a book written by Richard Bowles, What Color's Your Parachute? The most effective and most powerful chapter I've ever read on salary negotiations is in his book, What Color Is Your Parachute? So if you want more information, check it out. But I'm going to quote exactly from his book. I've been transmitting this line to others for years, and it's worked dramatically for others. So here it is. When the employer says, should I, or what do you make in your last position? You say, I'd be happy to talk about compensation. Okay, so you agree with them. You always agree. I'd be happy to talk about compensation. And then you say, are you offering me the position? Amazingly, if they say yes, then you've literally got the job already. And the reason why you have to ask that question is you never, ever, ever talk about money until you know they love you. And you know they love you when you ask them, are you offering the position? And they say yes. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? And then if they say yes, and here's the next step. Now, this is bonus information. I can't believe I'm actually sharing this, but it's actually bonus information. When they say yes, you then say, well, that I feel is a private issue that I'm going to leave with my employer. However, I've done my research, and my research has indicated a range between $50,000 and $55,000 a year, and it's negotiable. Now, isn't that pretty? What a pretty answer. It works very, very well. Consider it in your approach in looking for work, and when it comes to salary negotiations, and read that chapter because it's a hot one. So we're ready to get started here. So I'm so excited about today's show because I have been, over the past 4 months, compiling or stockpiling theories that have been, for the first time, they've come to me. Like, you know, sometimes an artist will paint something on the wall and they won't realize where it's going, and suddenly they'll do a move or a stroke and it'll be so beautiful, they're like, wow. And then they'll put it up on the wall and all their friends will say, wow. And then everyone wants it, and it goes in all the studios and everyone wants to buy it, and it's like, wow, right? Well, I started developing these theories and I never expected them to go anywhere because they were just out of my mind. But I started to transmit them over to individuals, and they're using them in their lives, and it's been so dramatic that I said, it's worthy of a show. I've got to get it on the air. So that's what today's show is about. It's about me sharing with you dream job theories that I've developed over the past 4 months that have never been revealed before, however, have been effectively used by others in the past. Another first, we will not be answering phone calls today, but for the first time ever, this show, Career Fast Track, will be answering phone calls and addressing your questions on the air. So not today, but in future shows, get your toughest questions answered quickly by calling anonymously 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Great. Clear your laps. Make sure there is nothing around you. Clear your mind. Take the pencil out of your ear. If you're driving, I suggest you stop somewhere safe. If you're talking with someone, then stop talking. And if you have others that are around you, they can invite them in, because here we go. The first theory that I want to share with you is based on a theory of a mountain. So what I'd like you to do now is visualize. Now, you might have to close your eyes. Some of you are visual. You might have to close your eyes. Picture a mountain, maybe Mount Everest. So basically, you have a peak. And now, most mountains, you have many different angles to get to the peak. But what I want you to think about in this mountain is you have only two ways to get to the top of this mountain. And at the top is your dream job. What I've discovered is that there are two ways to get to the top. One is through HR, okay? And the other is the hidden job market. What people don't realize is that 40% of you, on average, will find your work by going through HR. That means through job postings. That means through websites, through application forms. 40% of you. What does that leave? That leaves the other 60% of tapping into the hidden job market. And so I say this, it's very simple. If you want to have a very low stress job search, all you got to do is go through HR. And that means you have what? A 40% chance of finding work you love. If, however, you want to gain more control in your job search, if you want to dramatically decrease the amount of time it takes you to find work you love, then you go to the other side of the mountain, which accounts for 60%. And the best of all is that if you combine the two, you have HR 40%, hidden job market, the other 60%, and you've absolutely maximized your opportunity of finding work you love fast. Very, very fast. Now, the disadvantage of going to the hidden job market is that there's a higher amount of stress. So if you do not and cannot handle any stress and you do have the time, stick with HR. However, if you're ready for more, you've had it. You're the kind of person, you're frustrated. You get me the heck out of this position. I've absolutely had it. I can't stand my boss or whatever it is that's going on. A tap into the hidden job market. And so I call that the mountain peak approach. There's two ways to get to the top. Great, that was not so bad. That was the first theory that came out of just like that, speaking with an individual. Now, this is amazing. Oh, by the way, the information that I'm going to be sharing with you has absolutely no order. It's like whenever there's a stroke of genius that comes, I'm going to share it with you. So just deal with the randomness of it. The benefit of the randomness of it is that you're going to get like a mille-mille or a hodgepodge or, how do you say, a collage of information. And so for those of you that like collages, you're going to love the show. For those of you that don't, and you're more of a structured person, that's okay. Just remember the point that you like. If you ignore some points, ignore them. But if there's one point that sticks in your mind, just write it down. And that has order because it's just one point, right? Good. So point number two, it has to do with resumes. It's quite fascinating. And this is going to be the last tip I'm going to share before we go into break. Because after the break, I'm going to be continuing with these amazing tips. Resume tip. Here we go. The amount of time you spend doing an amount of work does not have to represent the amount of space it represents on the real estate on your resume. For example, if you did work in the past and 80% of it, you did it at this particular company, and 20% you did on the side, and you want to find work that focuses not on the 80% of the job or the work you did, but on the side work you did, you can actually blow up that 20% to be the major part of your resume. Does that make sense? In other words, I had an individual who wanted to work, her dream job was to work for Kodak. She wanted to be a project manager. In her old job, only 20% of her work was project management. In her new job, it was to be 100%. Not only that, the new job actually had a title, project manager, and her old one did not. But she knew this theory, and she applied it. And so what she did is her entire resume focused on the 20% of her project management work. Guess what happened? She landed her dream job. She was absolutely ecstatic, and she couldn't hold herself back. So one of the things I want to share with you is that resume, have fun with it, use it. More when we come back, we'll be talking about after the break, some more key concepts that really have impacted others, and I am so excited to share them with you.
Have you heard? The AMS has reopened the Sexual Assault Support Center. SASC has a great new location in rooms 119A and B on the main floor of the sub, right across from McInnes Field. And we have full-time hours now, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Call ahead and make an appointment to suit your schedule, or drop in whenever the need arises. The SASC works within a feminist anti-oppression perspective to provide support in the form of one-on-one counseling, accompaniments, advocacy, information, and referrals to male, female, and trans-identified survivors of violence. We also provide support and information for survivors' friends, family members, and partners. All the services provided at SASC are free, confidential, and non-judgmental. We work with you to identify and support your decisions about your needs. For more information, call 604-827-5180 or visit rooms 119A and B in the sub.
I gotta go. All right, and we're back. This is very exciting. Before the break, I've been sharing with you some theories that have come to me over the last 4 months that have I'm now sharing them with you so that you can wean from them. Now, I mentioned before the break that this information is going to be presented to you in a very unorganized fashion. Now, sometimes the show is very organized and sometimes very unorganized. All I look at is how you can get the information in such a way that will maximize your success in your career. So this is the way it's looking today. So I've covered two so far. I've got so many on my list. I'll never, ever get to them all. So the good news for you is you stick around next week and the week after and the week after, you will continue to hear these wonderful theories. Number three, it relates to information interviews. I want to share with you a little story. I had an individual who was a student, actually, and he landed himself two dream jobs, one with GM Canada, the car company, and one with GE, General Electric. And they were two dream jobs, and everyone was so excited and impressed by how he landed it. He was actually invited to go back to his school and share with students how to find opportunities in companies. And he shared with us this information. I had never heard it before, and it worked for him. And so I wrote it down, have been sharing it for these past several months, and it's been really working well for others. And the beauty of this, the concept, is it's real easy. You don't have to try very hard. It's very, very simple. I love making things easy. So here's the thing. Now, I'm not going to be able to go into what an information interview is today, but what I'm going to share with you now is the fact that there are three parts to an information interview. That is, when you go and meet someone and it's not for work, you're just asking them a bunch of questions. You sit down and you say, thanks for meeting with me, and you ask them a bunch of questions. Here it is. Step one, ask them about themselves. So you want to ask, you want to show genuine interest. That's a Dale Carnegie principle. Show genuine interest in the other person. And there's a saying that goes, if you show more interest in someone else, you can make more friends in 5 minutes than you would in 5 hours if you tried to get them interested in you. So that's the theory or the concept behind this human relation approach. So it is, you sit in front of them and you ask them about, tell me about your career. How did you get into your career? Really show interest in them. Does that make sense? Good. So that's number one. Number two is move to the company. So say, can you tell me a bit about your company? Tell me a bit, you know, what have been some of the major projects? What are you working on now? What are your major concerns? Here's a good question. What keeps you up at night? Now, that's a big one. For a manager, because that's who you're going to be meeting for the information interview, you want to ask them what keeps them up at night, because that's a big stressor. And, you know, I've had individuals in the past who've said, when I asked them what's their major worry, they say finding good people. And it ended up at the end of the interview, they ended up getting a job offer because, well, it was a good fit. So that's a side benefit, but that's not always what happens, but it's a good benefit. And finally, you want to share with them what you're looking for, but that's not a job. Never ask for a job in an information interview. Forget it. All you want to say is, you know, this is what I'm looking for. Do you have any suggestions? Keep it open. Let them bite if they want you, okay? Mary Landell, she used to run an organization. She always said, she ran a career management firm. She always said, if as a candidate, always be ready for an information interview to be converted to a job interview. So when you do that, that's very, 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 very important. So good. Always remember that. So ask about the person, ask about the company, and then talk a bit about yourself and ask for some feedback. Okay, that's number three. Number four, and I love this title. It's just brilliant. It says, how to reduce career anxiety. I just absolutely love that, because I get so many people come to me. They're so anxious. They really don't know what to do. They're distraught. Many, especially after the holiday break, they came to me totally disheveled. They're like, what do? I'm stuck in a rut. And I came up with this amazing idea, is that it takes 30 or 21 days on average to gain a new habit. And the holidays on average are about 14 days. And so while their momentum has slowed down considerably, I convinced people, hopefully I'm going to convince you now, that if you're stuck in a rut, that really the holidays was not long enough to fully change your habits. So just consider that, all right? I thought that was a little fun idea. So my next point is how to reduce your career anxiety. And here it is. It actually came from a publication, believe it or not, from the federal government. That's right. I was reading this pamphlet, totally expecting to get nothing from it, and I read this. The number one cause of stress in individuals regarding their career, whether you are 22 years old or 65 years old, is by focusing too much on a position instead of focusing on their skills. So here's the thing. I have people come and they say, well, I don't know what job I can do. I have no idea what job I can do, right? Like, how do I know what's in a company? Well, do you know that in companies, they don't even know what's going on sometimes with their job descriptions? Have you ever been hired by a company and you look at your job description and say, what? This has nothing to do with what I was hired for. So jobs change all the time. That's why jobs, you know, the show talks about landing your dream job, but it should be more like landing your dream opportunity, because job is so static, it doesn't move. All you have to focus on are your skills. So when you're talking to employers, don't say, do you have an opportunity for this position, for a marketing position? Don't talk like that. Talk about the skills you enjoy using. I love my coordination skills. I love my planning skills. I'm really well organized. I'm really good in time management. I'm a great problem solver. I'm a really good critical thinker. I'm a great leader. When you talk like that, then this is the magic part. Let them figure out where you fit in the company, right? Because they know their company best. Why and how do you ever expect to know the company best? It's impossible. You can't do it. So just remember that. Focus on your skills and not the position. Now, that's a very big brush overview. But I want to mention that in future shows, I'll be sharing with you exactly how to actually say these words to an employer and actually how to book an interview with an employer using this approach. Okay. Because this is kind of like the foundation. But now that you have that, if you like that, jot it down. And in future shows, you're going to have an opportunity to make a note of it. Okay, wonderful. So we're moving along nicely. We've now covered 4 points so far. We've talked about climbing the mountain, the resume tip, info interviews, and how to reduce career anxiety. Now, I love this one. This is, before we go to our next break, I got to share this one. This one always gets a chuckle. I call it the magic hand-eye technique. And it was born out of a meeting that I never expected to happen. The president of one of the fastest growing companies in all of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Now, while this company is in Vancouver based, they have offices across North America in almost every state and almost every province in Canada. And I believe they're up in the territory as well. And they have franchises. And the president said this, I couldn't believe it. I decide to hire someone based on their handshake alone. I said, what? It's not possible. And at that moment, we had about 60 people in the crowd. It was for an event. He pointed to a guy, no joke. I don't exaggerate. He pointed to the guy and said, you, what's your name? Guy gave his name. He said, I want to interview you because of your handshake. Now listen, that was a bit dramatic, I would agree, but that actually did occur. And I think he did it to prove a point. He ended up getting the interview. I don't know what happened, but he got the interview, which was amazing. In private, I went to the president. I said, president, I won't say his name. Well, Brian Scudamore, if I met him. It wasn't actually Brian. It was actually one of the people that work with him, but he represented the company. I said, come on, you got to tell me what it was that he did to make such a powerful impression. And he basically revealed to me a way of an approach, which I summarized and coined the theory, the magic hand-eye technique. So here it is. Very quickly, what you do, you want to take both hands and you want to bring the web of your hands together. Okay, you bring the web of the hands together. Do that right now so you get the feeling. So whether you're a man or a woman and you're handshaking a man or a woman's hand or whatever, you must absolutely have the webs of your hand connect. Do not stop short. If you stop short, you're toast, okay? That's point one. That's the hand part of the hand eye. The eye technique, it's amazing. You want to look at the person's eyes as if you're trying to tell the color of their eyes. It's amazing. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever had someone come up to you, you've introduced yourself, and they said, have I met you before? The reason they say that is because you show genuine interest in them. And I've discovered a way to manufacture genuine interest. Even though you don't know them, you want to get to know them. So how do you automatically develop rapport? You shake their hand and try to tell the color of their eyes. But here's a caveat. Please don't lean forward. That's the one thing you don't want to do. Do not lean forward. Just try to tell the color of their eyes with a handshake. Great. We're moving along very nicely. We are now going into a break. And over the break, take notes. Jot some things down. Because after the break, I'm going to be revealing a few more key concepts. And that's it. I know you're getting massive value. Enjoy. Over the break, I'll be back in just a sec.
CITR podcast update. Number 5.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. As it comes more and more into our personal lives, how are we going to cope with the techno peasants? I mean, this world, which was a fantasy for me 10 years ago, every 6 months becomes more a part of my own real life, you know. In the place where I do most of my writing, I now am just hooked into the world electronically,
right.
Or would be if I could figure out how to make the bleep bleep modem work. But I'm technologically over my head already. The limit on me is not what you can do, it's what I can do.
I'm not sure you want to use your bleep bleep modem, or any modem for that matter, with receiving podcasts. But, you know, just check out our website, and I'm sure you'll figure it out.
For more information, visit citr.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
You are proudly listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your dynamic and fascinating host, Philip Roche. You are now listening to Career Fast Track, a show specifically designed to educate and inspire you to land your dream job.
So what we've been talking about today is an amazing concept that I've been developing over the past 4 months. And one of the things I wanted to share with you is these concepts, because I'm starting to solidify them, but I didn't want to share them with you until I had proven them in the real world. Because if it's not proven in the real world, I don't know if it's scientifically say that it's going to work for you, but I can now statistically tell you that it's worked for enough people that I'm confident they can work directly for you in your life. So whether you're right now wanting to make a change, or you're thinking of making a change, or you're a very big planner, like years in advance, or you have a friend who needs a change, or a family member who needs a change, or a family member who might one day plan for a change, this show relates directly to you. I think I've covered everyone. So what I'm basically saying is this information is so hot, everyone needs to hear it. The question is, are you motivated enough to use it? And I've said this before, but this information I'm sharing with you is free, but it's not free if you don't use it. So use it, because what is the cost in your life by staying in work you hate? We've got time for only one more theory. That's it, and we're wrapped up. I promise too, but I'm sorry that things go along really quickly, and we've had a very good opportunity here. Finally, the last thing I want to talk about, you know what? I want to talk about this one. You make as much money compared to the size of your receiver bowl. What do I mean by that? You make as much money in your life that is in direct relationship to the size of your receiver bowl. So let me prove my point right now. When I ask you right now, how much money are you worth? What number just came into your head? That is the size of your receiver bowl. If it's a small bowl, I promise you, you will make exactly that amount of money. If it's a large bowl, you will make exactly that kind of money. So why am I sharing this? Is money everything? Absolutely not. However, it is a fantastic tool to enjoy life. So on this show, that's what we're talking about. Enjoying our lives and enjoying our careers and making a ton of money at it. So it is a lot of fun. So what I want you to consider is that when you are thinking about the work you're doing, consider that you will be and you will only make as much and then as large as your receiver bowl is. So until the next show, what I want you to do is I want you to think about how big your receiver bowl is and how you can enlarge it. I am Philip DeRoche, and you are listening to Career Fast Track on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, a show specifically designed to educate and inspire you to land your dream job. I will see you next week at the same time, where you will continue to learn how to do what you love, make a ton of money, and of course, be unstoppable.
You are proudly listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your dynamic and fascinating host, Philip Roche. You are now listening to Career Fast Track, a show specifically designed to educate and inspire you to land your dream.
CITR podcast update.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. How much construction has been done?
We haven't had to do any construction, actually. Mostly it was just getting servers to host all of these audio files and then software to be able to deliver the podcast to the listening public.
And where does a satellite fit in?
There's no plan to use satellites at the moment.
For more information, visit citr.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
En avant la musique. Votre émission éclectique de langue française sur les ondes de CITR 101,9 FM. Chansons d'expression française, jazz, musique du monde et musique actuelle pour les francophones et francophiles de la région de Vancouver. En avant la musique, l'émission francophone la plus branchée. En avant la musique, the only eclectic French show on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.